The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hornet's Nest. Good morning. We're here with two special guests, Christine and Mike Robinson. They're going to tell us about their nightmare trying to rebuild their home after the car fire. But first, I've got two big pieces of news for you. For all you whiny failed recallers out there that were whining that the Charter County hadn't been filed, it has been filed and accepted. We are a Charter County, so you can quit your whining. Number two, our vote counting machines / tabulators didn't cost us a dime. As a matter of fact, Kristen Gardner and Brad Garbutt get up there and time after time say it cost us millions of dollars to cancel out the Dominion machines. As a matter of fact, the Dominion machines were costing us $266,000 a year plus software plus extra for special elections. We purchased the Hart machines for $950,000, and they have a life expectancy of 10 to 15 years, depending on who you talk to. Now, you recall that Mark Zuckerberg sent us $1.5 million that the Register of Voters and Joanna Francesca tried to hide from us, in fact, did hide from us for a year. We finally got that money. That money was put into the general fund, just like where the money for the Hart machines came back from. So it was a push. It didn't cost us a dime for the vote counting machines. In fact, we're up $550,000. And one other comment. Why do you have to upgrade a vote counting machine? All it does is count votes. Why do you have to have special people come in and upgrade it every election? The ballots are different, that's right, but why couldn't we have some kind of mechanism sitting on top like a scanner on top of a copying machine that you would put the new ballot in? It scans it. This is how it counts. All they are is a way to cheat. So, good morning.
Well, there's a mouthful right there.
I got more. I got more.
I know. That's what scares me. I mean, we're even just starting. So first off, let's see what Dad tells us. KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, KCNR1460.com. Before we get going to our guests, because I really want to hear this story, and folks, you're going to want to turn your radio up because before the show we were talking, and I'm just appalled at what we're going to hear. This coming Saturday, September 20th, at the Wild Horse Sanctuary in Manton, it's their annual open house. Last year got canceled because of the fires. So 11 to 4 on Saturday, it's 5796 Wilson Hill Road. There's going to be vendors, live music, food, and the whole works. So come on down. It's free to everybody. So September 20th, Wild Horse Sanctuary. There you go, Nick. There's my two announcements because you had a mouthful. And the reason that we have to keep updating a machine that does exactly what it did 40 years ago is because it costs money. That's why.
It's creating jobs. It's creating jobs.
Well, Nick, these are your guests, but as a local broker of 28 years and have sold over 1,000 homes, including ones that are in the car fire, I have clients who lost 9 homes out of 8 owners. So these folks' story we're about to hear is of interest to me. So, Nick, please introduce our folks.
Christine and Mike Robinson. Christine, you want to take over? Start from day one.
All right. Well, our property is pretty unique. It's out by the Sacramento River Trail, and many of your guests will know exactly right where it is because they ride by on their trail all the time and see it, and a lot of people have wondered what has taken us so long to rebuild or if we're going to be rebuilding. To start, my husband's family has owned the property since 1957. His father started high school at Shasta out there, And we've lived out there, had several homes, and almost all of the family members that are here locally have gotten their start out there on that property. It's been loved by our family for a very long time. Right after Mike's grandmother passed away, the family said, we can't take over the property anymore. It's getting dilapidated, and his uncle needs health care out there on the trailer that many people will know right by the river trail. And so they said, you guys are the only ones that we know that can restore the property to what it was and can maintain it and all of that. Mike and I have flipped houses before and lived up in Portland for 16 years and jumped at the opportunity to come home. So we sold our business and our home up in Portland and came back and started restoring all the maintenance that had been neglected and cleaning the property, which took yards and yards and yards of garbage to get rid of. And Mike spent a good 10 years of his, what we thought was his retirement, restoring that property out there. And then when the fire hit, it wiped us out. Everything was gone. We had been out of town. We didn't save anything. We lost cars and RVs and our home, our pets, everything. The fire department, once we heard we were evacuating, we tried to get back out there and they wouldn't let us go back out there.
Is there anything more devastating than having your home burned down than maybe losing a child?
I had no idea all the ramifications that it's like just getting in your car one morning and going to work and never being able to return. You just, all of those resources are gone. You know, everything that Mike has worked for all these years and myself too, you know, and when we left Portland, we had a big home and I downsized and I said, I'm going to live like everyone says. I'm going to keep my best. I'm going to live just my best. So I got rid of everything and we just were going to live in grandma's little retirement cottage and enjoy the area because Reading is beautiful and I love it. It's everywhere I wanted to be when I wasn't here. So we came back and really invested in all of that, and it wiped us out. So once you decide, we had to decide with the family, you know, we're like, okay, who's still interested in owning it? It was a family property, and everybody said, we're out. We're done. You guys take it. You're the only ones that can restore it at this point. You're the one that has the knowledge and the determination to do it. And so we said, okay. So we went back and got our permits to come back onto the property and talked, went and met with the county and had to go through the process. We had to prove that we were legal dwellings.
So for clarification, you're not dealing with the city. You're dealing with the county.
Yeah, Shasta County.
Okay. Just want to make sure I had that clear.
And is this before or after the fire you're talking
about? After the fire.
Okay.
Yeah, when the county said they were going to streamline the permit process, so I just want to make sure that's also started in there. Continue on.
Yeah. So we thought that actually started out kind of that way. And so when we went down and talked to the people at the planning department and with the county, actually everybody was really helpful. You know, it was like, okay, this is a go. So then we went and purchased a trailer and put it back out in the exact same location Mike's grandma's house had been since, who knows, it's been there for so long, nobody even knows how long it's been there. So we go back and get out there and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden we have code enforcement come out and they red tag our power and they said that we're on federal land. And we're like, what do you mean we're on federal land? We've been here for 75 years. What are you talking about? And so he just jumps around and left, this code enforcement guy. And so we are like, well, I went directly to the Bureau of Reclamation and I said, what is this that you mean that we're on federal land? What are you claiming? And there's a gal out at the dam and she deals with all the buildings that are on federal land. And she said, I don't have any record of a building right there that we own. There's no record of that. So I'm going to send you to the gal down in Sacramento that is in charge of the dirt, the land of the Bureau of Reclamation and talk to her. And so she said, well, it looks like there could be some land out there that we own, but we've never had it surveyed, and it doesn't have a survey. So even if we do own this little tiny sliver, it's something that we could sell to you, you know, for minimal because it's of no value to anybody but you. And so we're like, okay, well, that's kind of good. And then so how do we get that process going? And then a couple of weeks later, code enforcement comes out and cuts our power and just tells us we got to go, evicts us. We've been there for 75 years. And, well, I guess maybe 60 years at that point.
This is Shasta County that cuts you off. You're good with the BLM.
Yes. And so then we got an eviction letter from BLM. And we're like, well, what's this? Well, it's all coming through Shasta County. So they're working with Shasta County at this point, or Shasta County is working with them at this point, to get us to get us evicted and to go. And we can't understand what's happening, right? We're just like, well, wait a minute. We got all of our permits to come back. You know, what's going on? Well, come to find out, we had a neighbor who had been going to the county and been telling them that we were squatting on our property and had put together a packet of all of this information about what horrible neighbors we were for the preceding 10 years. And many of these lies about us that were no longer provable, you know, because you can prove it at the time, but after the fire and everything's destroyed, now he's making all these claims that we can't prove didn't happen because there's no evidence of anything.
Now, who was your supervisor at that time?
Leonard Modi.
Okay.
Yeah. So we reached out to Leonard Modi, and we reached out to the county. We actually called the news, you know, and had the news come out and do a report to find out what's going on. You know, we have all these permits. Don't we have some private property rights? You know, I mean, what's going on? I thought they were going to help people rebuild. We were supposed to have been able to rebuild right in the exact same location that our homes were prior to the fire. So then we find out that once we went and got our survey, because we had to get a survey to prove that it wasn't federal land and proved that it wasn't federal land, then the county said, well, now it's an 80-foot easement that we're claiming that,
oh my God,
that goes
right
through.
They just changed the rules on you after they already gave you approval.
Yes.
Okay.
And so now it's an 80-foot wide easement, which an 80-foot wide road is enormous. It's the size of 299. I'm at a dead end of a 16-foot wide one-lane road.
Let me explain to you folks, if you've ever been on the river trail on the south side of the river, when you get to a Y, there used to be a Coke machine out there. I used to think that was the strangest thing. In the middle of nowhere, there was a freaking Coke machine. That is the property. Just so you guys have context, mm-hmm. It's out at the end of the road. There's no through traffic. There's nothing. That actual Y is what we're talking about. So I just want to make sure people have an understanding mm-hmm. of where we're talking, that all of a sudden the county is saying we need an 80-foot road to drive to a dead-end spot. Continue.
Yeah, and they're not asking for the entire road to be 80 feet.
Well,
they're
only asking cut off the easement that far.
They're only asking for the 80-foot wide road on our property.
Yeah.
That's it.
To nowhere.
To nowhere.
For the record.
Yeah. So we couldn't understand what was going on. All of our homes and buildings had been within this so-called 80-foot easement.
And for the record, most road easements, except for freeways, are 60-foot easements.
From the center of the road.
No, 30 feet side. Yes, mm-hmm. correct, Nick. 30 feet on each side. So this is an extraneous addition to what is a normally accepted road easement. Continue on.
Okay. So what we found is back in 1885, the original owners of the property that we're dealing with it out there, and this is the old town of Wah, and there was a Wah Hotel out there actually on our property, and the owners that owned that Wah Hotel, they decided when they were going to transfer ownership of the property, they wanted to maintain an 80-foot wide easement for themselves because they felt like they were going to build a community in there. So they didn't want to sell all of the property. They wanted to keep the town as private ownership. So that's where this 80-foot easement thing has come from, is this old ancient transferring and the owners retaining that 80-foot for themselves. The county says that means that they intended to make it an 80-foot wide road, and they were claiming ownership of this 80-foot wide road. It's a road that had a hotel built in it right after this had been established. So why would they, if they were establishing a road, would they have built a hotel right in the middle of this 80-foot stretch? So all of our deeds had been handwritten, handed down, passed down from, you know, forever. Then nothing had ever been surveyed or since, you know, that original 1885 deed. So that's what the county was claiming, is at that point. So they were not going to let us rebuild because they were not going to let us rebuild on their 80-foot wide road. So we just couldn't understand what was going on. You know, it was ridiculous. So then the harassment started with code enforcement. So then code enforcement, once they get a hold of you, you know, things are really...
They're horrible people. They are just public, I'm saying on the record, county and city building code enforcement are horrible people. Well, they will go after people that are otherwise trying to be law-abiding, and they let all the homeless and all the crap go on. So, yes, mm-hmm. they are horrible people. Continue.
Yeah. Certainly,
Leonard Modi took your side and dug into it and helped you, didn't he?
No. No, he did not.
Oh.
No.
Really?
So he felt that we were squatters and that had been, you know, what we found is that the neighbor had made appointments with all of the county heads and actually had been researching our deed behind our back, unbeknownst to us, and had taken all of this information to the county and offered our property to the county and said, why aren't you taking this property? This should be your property. It should not be these homeowners who I don't like and have different political leanings then, and we should just get rid of them. And the county was like, wow, we really like that idea of that property and owning it. It would be a wonderful park, which it would, but it's supposedly mine. I thought I had, you know, private property rights in America. And so they had gone behind our backs and they had had all of these discussions and they had made these plans with the sheriff and all these, and nobody had ever, not one time, called us, sent a letter to us or anything from the county saying that there was any type of this information going on behind our backs. We were just completely blindsided with code enforcement and PG&E coming out and cutting our power.
May I be so bold as to ask who your neighbor is?
Yes, my neighbor is Christian Gardner.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Christian.
And the intrigue continues.
Yes. I didn't even know Christian. He kept very much to himself, and I figured he was
nobody knew him,
and
somehow he got elected, but that's another story.
Well, no, he didn't get elected.
He was the lawyer.
He's a clinical psychologist
that's
from
what it is. Yeah.
Trinity County.
That's right, government official, yes.
They pay so poor over in Trinity County, he can't even afford a haircut.
Yes, a raging liberal. Continue on.
Yeah, so it was very hurtful, and that was just the beginning of what he did. That's even a whole other story. It's because it's two components. It's his neighbor, and it's also the county. But the county's been a very effective tool of his to hurt us, and it's really disheartening and shameful for the county to do that. After they evicted us off of the spot where Mike's grandma was, I did speak with Paul Hellman, who was the head of the public works at the time, and he told me that he was not aware that we had any permits. So people are keeping information from the heads. I sent him all of our permits, every permit that we'd ever pulled out there.
That had already been issued for the record.
Yes.
Yes.
And they
okay.
revoked them. They revoked the permits.
Yes.
And since then, we actually have won that land back that we had been sitting on for all those years, you know, through the trial. And it should never have been cut off at that. You know, we should have been legally allowed to stay right there where we were. So once we have to move our trailer across the street and get it off of all of our services, Paul did let us go back and do that. And I think he was really surprised that all this was happening. And we have found through deposition testimony that he tried to get us in back in there. But there are other people in the county that did not want us there. And those people prevailed with their attorneys. So, and that was... that was Pat Minturn at the Public Works Department. Mm. So he decided it was his road, and he was not going to let us have it. And then we were working with the county and trying to settle this, and we had found that it wasn't federal land, and now we're going to have to do, well, what is this 80-foot easement? You know, what are you going to do with that? It's, you don't have ownership of it. And so when we went to file our survey, they said, well, you got to put the road in. And our surveyor said, okay, great, I'll put the road in. Show me your ownership documentation of owning that road, and I'd be happy to do that, which I'm very thankful for our surveyor, which we had to go out of county to get because nobody in the county would want to survey our property and go against the county. So they said, we don't have any ownership, and we can't really provide anything like that, but we think we own it, and so give us a little time to research more and see what we can come up with. So they did some research, and they found that the county had ordered a survey of a road out there.
A road, not the road.
Yeah, a road.
Okay.
And so most people know that road is the only road from Reading to Old Shasta, and since Old Shasta has been in creation since the 1840s or 50s, and everybody knows that. I mean, it's just common knowledge. You have history out there that's that old. You don't have a lot of written documentation because they didn't do a lot of written documentation.
Yeah.
And
that's when people's word meant something. They had their word and their honor, but continue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then the judge initially said, well, we got to prove that road is prior to 1865, which is when the road laws, that they established the width of the road. If it's prior, we can prove the road is prior to 1885 or 84, then we can have the road, the width that it currently is sitting at, which is currently anywhere from 12 to 18 feet wide. Single lane, it's dangerous, there's cliff on one edge. You know, it's just an old ancient wagon road. And you can still see evidence of the old road when you're driving down Middle Creek. When you head down that steep hill, if you look to the right, you can see the old ancient bridge that used to cross Middle Creek, and you can see all of the rock building to restore the road. And so you can see where they've altered the road just a bit right where it crosses Middle Creek, and that just shows that the road is, you know, super old. It's, you know, really as old as it can be. It's probably one of the oldest roads in the area because it was the establishment road between Reading and Old Shasta.
Oh, sure, all the way over to Trinity. That was mm-hmm. the old stagecoach road.
Exactly.
I've got one correction I've got to do. Lori called in and said Kristen is a licensed clinical social worker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way I understood it, he was a clinical psychologist from Waverville. I looked it up, so maybe I'm mistaken, but the bottom line, he sucked the government hind titties whole life. Go ahead.
Well, I would think that somebody in that field, too, would have compassion for people who have been devastated by a fire. So I'm very surprised, since I didn't ever do anything to hurt this man, that he would be so.
He's a liberal. He's a liberal. They're in there to hate you and make your life difficult because you don't mm-hmm. believe politically with them. So that's it. Just cut to the chase. That's where we're at.
And I had an American flag and a Don't Tread on Me flag, and I think that probably was a real.
It probably pissed him off. You should have had the sickle and, you know, from Russia, or maybe the China flag would have gone over very well. Mm-hmm. Venezuela's popular right now with Mr. Yeah. Gardner, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have an old road. Mm-hmm. It's a single lane, and you've said you would do a new road and get it surveyed, mm-hmm. and so that's where we're at.
Right.
Where are we at? What goes on then?
So then they finally say, okay, we'll let you say that the road is. We said, well, we know that it's a public road. We can't determine the width of it because that's what was in dispute, is what's the width of this road. We would like it to stay 16 feet. It's the way we've always lived with it. You know, people have used it all the time. And then in our research, we found that when they abandoned the road in 1987 for the river trail, that all their abandonment documents show that they didn't abandon it at the river trail where it's currently sitting. They actually abandoned it in the middle of our property at one of our, we have three parcels out there, and they abandoned it at the center parcel. And we're like, well, wait a minute. Your documents show that you abandoned it at lot 3, not at the edge of lot 1. So how can you, you know, claim that you have any ownership of a road beyond that? Because you've abandoned it. Here's your documentation showing that. You look it up. They say, this is abandoned at this parcel, noted in this book on this page. And you go to that book and that page, and there's our center parcel. That's the legal description of our center parcel. So we're like, well, wait a minute. This is going to have to get decided, too, because the road is abandoned in the middle of our property. It's not even abandoned at the end of our property like we thought. So that's where any talk about us saying that you don't own a road comes in, is because of that abandonment documentation. So they allow us to file the survey that says that it's a prescriptive easement because at least it's been prescriptive because we've allowed people to go through it all of this time. So whether or not it was abandoned at the center or at the end, that didn't really matter because we knew that we were going to have to let people continue to, you know, ride their bikes through and walk through to the river trail. There's not a legal turnaround at the end of that property, and there never is going to be a legal turnaround at the end of that property. So it just is kind of a complicated and not ideal situation for all of that.
One thing I'd like to explain is a prescriptive right-of-way means you've used it, I think it's over 60 days or 90 days. If you used it every day, you have the right to use it. It's prescriptive right-of-way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and there's lots of things about that. If you allow people to park on your property for 5 years, you lose the right to tell them not to.
Yeah.
So don't let people park on your property ever.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that prescriptive right of way doesn't work with the government because there was a road that went on down across the river from you people that I used for years and years and years. And BLM put a gate up, and I called them up and said, what about prescriptive right of way? Well, that doesn't apply to us.
Nothing applies to the government.
Yeah, nothing applies to the government.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so we went and had to file this lawsuit because they would not let us rebuild. We were awarded a grant from the Community Disaster Fund to rebuild the home. We were hurt. We were really financially devastated by this. You know, it really took us out. And so we were awarded a grant to have the house, and built Shasta Builders Exchange and North Valley Catholic Social Services worked with the county and did everything we could to get you know, we said, okay, so if we won't build on Grandma's house, what we call Grandma's location, then we're going to build back up at where Uncle Bo lived, up by the river trail, and we'll build up there because that's a bigger spot. And they said no. They just would not let us rebuild. They would not approve.
And for clarity, it's the county. It's the county.
It's Shasta County.
Shasta County is doing this. So make sure you're listening, folks. It's not the city of Redding. It's Shasta County.
It does border city of Redding because the river trail becomes city of Redding. Mm-hmm. So it's right on the border.
Yep.
We're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
You about ready, Dave? He'll get ready. Anyway, I hope you're listening to this. This is just a travesty. Are you still working with Leonard Modi or
no?
Who are you working with now?
We'll be back. Let's take a break and we'll be back and answer that after we get back.
Okay. KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue Feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
It's that time again for the Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. It's the return of beautiful dancers, the feel of powerful drummers, all from across the nation. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 3rd through the 5th at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter Family, Redding Rancheria, Wind River Resort and Casino. This station and other proud sponsors.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue Feed, as well as workwear, Western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
Through the window, by the window, that's where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Have made myself the unofficial campaign manager for the common people for Tim Garman, and that's our song for Tim. His main accomplishment is he almost got a fire hydrant out at I Go and Oh No, and I think maybe it was the environmental impact report he didn't file that he was going to have to tear up some tulips. And he's instrumental in this presentation, because I think he's taken over for Leonard Modi now, hasn't he, as far as being the your county representative?
Well, he was until Alan Long was elected.
Well, what'd Tim do for you?
Nothing. He wouldn't even return a phone call or an email.
Wow. And that's his forte. He's so proud of how he helped the people out in Keswick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'm not Keswick.
Okay.
Technically.
How about it?
So, yeah, that was the only supervisor that's even listened to us has been Kevin Cry. and it's been so late in the game. I mean, Kevin has really tried to do what he could do, but at this point it had gone on so long and there's been, you know, so much litigation in the past, and we're really hindered because once something goes into litigation, you can't talk about it. You know, that's what your attorney's for. Everything becomes evidentiary. You know, you have to be very careful what you say. It's all going to be used against you. They're going to dig it up and use it against you. And all of that did happen anyway. So I have a very wise attorney that told me to get off all social media. I found that they had scoured my social media and found one post about when they had evicted us off of the property that I did. And we're going to use that against me. So I still don't have social media. I'm not probably ever going to have social media. I think it's awful and toxic.
Yeah.
But
welcome to America, yeah, 2025. Isn't
exactly.
It beautiful?
So we tried to settle with the county. We tried to say, listen, we're just trying to rebuild our lives. We just have been devastated by this fire. The property's been, the road's been abandoned at this point. You know, we understand people are going to want to use it to walk through and all of that. And, what can we do to settle this? And they didn't want to do anything. And so we had to go to a big mediation that we paid for and meet with them and their attorneys. And, of course, this is the first attorney that we worked with. I can't remember his name, Mike.
Jim Ross.
Yeah, Jim Ross. And he did not want to help at all. He did nothing for us, Jim Ross. They just are like, nope, it's ours. Nope, it's ours. Nope, it's ours. That's what you get. Can we talk about this? Nope, it's ours. That's what you get at the county. You gotta just sue them. That's your only option, is just to sue them.
Isn't that great? You have to pay for your lawyers and their lawyers.
That's our government.
That's our government.
We elected
to
represent us.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Of the people, by the people.
And using Jim Ross's words, he said that he wasn't in the business of giving land away that belonged to the county. Mm-hmm. This is land that they never owned, never used, never wanted, never needed since 1849.
Yeah.
And we've been there for half of the time that land was in existence.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of heartbreaking. So then we had made a settlement agreement at that mediation. We're like, okay, this is moving forward. And then we were just waiting for the county approval for the settlement agreement. And then all of a sudden they said, well, it's going to take some time to get the approval, so we're going to push the court date out again. So they pushed the court date out and it's, of course, when you push the court date out, it's a minimum of 6 months to 9 months. So it was pushed out two or three times. So years are going by at this point, you know, and so we're trying to just exist out there, and then code enforcement comes out and
again
inspects and decides, oh, you've got an above ground pool that survived the fire, but it didn't survive the county because now I have to pay a $250 demolition permit to take my pool down. And then because, you know, it's a danger.
It almost makes you want to cry. You guys laughed at the absolute utter stupidity of that comment you just made. I need a demolition permit to take down an above ground pool.
Yes.
Yes.
So, and, you know, you don't need a permit for a Connex unless you don't have anything on your property. But once you don't have anything on your property, everything that goes on out there needs to be permitted at that point. So they dinged us we had friends that had a RV that they were storing out there. And that was the original, what originally happened is he came out and said we had other people living out there that weren't permitted. And they were not living out there. It was just an RV being stored out there. But then once you invite them to come and clear that, they come out. And he said, okay, now you've got a pool that's got to come down, and now you've got this connex that you didn't do, and it looks like you're putting in some water lines or you're building something around your well to keep it out of the elements. So they filed this noncompliance against our deed. So it's all effort to get us to just walk away from our property if mm-hmm. we had just walked away.
Why do they want you to walk away?
Yeah, what is
there's got to be a reason.
So what we found was when they rejected our settlement offer, and they said the city of Reading wouldn't accept our settlement offer. Now, mind you, we're dealing with Shasta County. So what has the city of Reading got to do with our property? And so our attorney did a FOIA request for the city of Reading also. And then we found park plans that had been turned and engineered and done in February of 2020, where they wanted our property to service a new trailhead and a new park that was being offered by somebody who owned the floodplain between the trail and the river. They were going to create this big, beautiful park down there, and all they needed our property for was a 15-car parking lot. So now we know that why they wanted it. And from what I understand, to the best of my knowledge, that you cannot eminent domain a property for a want. You can only eminent domain a property for a need. And a park is not a want. A park is not a need. It's a want.
Well, and for comparison, folks, just to give you an idea again, because you know where the Coke machine was. We've got that figured out. The area that's actually on the north side of the trail is just it almost looks like an old gravel pit. It's just all stone and rock and everything else, and it's in the floodplain. I mean, that area does flood when the Sacramento River goes up. So our enlightened idiots have decided that they want to put a park there that is probably going to be subject to flooding every couple years, and that water's moving quite fast, to be quite honest with you. So whatever they put there will be destroyed, and this is what they have discovered is in their research in 2020, somebody came with the idea to put a park in a definite floodplain, and they need these folks' property to build a 15-lot parking lot. Am I having that pretty much correct?
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
I want to make sure I don't mince words.
And in addition to that, as a fisherman, that is one of the prime, right below Middle Creek, is one of the last prime spawning beds for the endangered salmon.
Yes.
And they want to put a park on it.
Yes.
So Fish and Game is aware now, because I called them, but it would never happen. The environmental agency would never let it happen. So this is a pipe dream anyway.
Well, and that area, I mean, I used to live literally right above, behind Shasta High School, right above the river. And when the water got up, I mean, it got up.
It
and as we all know, Park Marina floods out. This property up the stream is actually probably lower than Park Marina. So think about Park Marina with a park, air quotes, a park on it. That's not going to happen.
Well, this is quite an example of the city and the county working together, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because I've been discussing with somebody while we're on the air, and the original intention, that was the city, and you guys have been dealing with the county, but city has been coming out and getting their fingers into the pot, haven't they?
Yeah.
And the county made the claim directly to us that they didn't know about the park.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now, okay, so let's go down that avenue. Let's play devil's advocate here. So the city is saying they didn't know about this park, or the county says they didn't know about it, but you guys obviously have paperwork that must have been filed somewhere. So they're lying again. The government's lying to us again. That's what I mean. I'm just being blunt.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I don't mince words on this show. I won't use bad words. Every now and then they might beat me, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, I see the plan you guys show, and it's a pretty advanced little thing with showing that it's a, for the record, the actual technical name, everybody, is Proposed Middle Creek Road Trailhead and Friesen Property Improvements, dated February 20th, 2020, by Shara Dunlop and Sawyer. This is an official kind of a document. Somebody paid a lot of money. Those guys are not cheap. And for the county or the city to say they didn't know about this is a load of poppycock. Continue on.
Didn't you get accused of squatting on your own property?
Yeah, you talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that was pretty heartbreaking, and that caused a whole new ball of wax with the neighbor.
Mr. Gardner.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to add too that it took us 18 months and $50,000 in legal fees to force them to file a legal survey. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they delayed. They wanted a lot of time to try and find ownership of that road, and they could never find it. They've never found it. They don't have ownership of that road. It was never given to them. And actually, there, again through FOIA, you know, we found out that their
lead expert.
Yeah, their lead expert in the tax department there that does all of the ownership documents. She researched it. And she said, we do not own that 80-foot wide stretch. That was something between two private individuals. That is not county ownership. And she disseminated that information to every county department head. Every county department head knew that they did not own that, but they went ahead and pushed this anyway. So that was pretty awful.
And I might add, too, that our expert that we brought in and paid for said the same thing.
So you have somebody in the county saying they don't own that property, and you have an outside expert saying they do not own that property.
And that's what the judge said, too. And the judge says they don't own that property, too.
But yet all of a sudden they're claiming jurisdiction over a piece of property they don't own that's not going to a public right away. It's going to a private land. So think about this, folks. As an agent, I show properties and I've sold a lot. Now think about this if you've got a couple acres out in the middle of Palisades or Millville, and the county comes in and says you need to set aside an 80-foot easement on your property to get to your house. Because that's really what we're talking about, is you just want to rebuild your house, okay? Now, you do have that prescriptive easement thing that I do think, unfortunately, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that there's been enough use over the years, bike, cyclists and everything, mm-hmm. you'd be kind of hard-pressed to put a fence and block it off. I think you'd lose that one. But think of this, folks. If this is you, you have a piece of dirt, 5 acres out in the middle of nowhere, and the county doesn't own a piece of 1 inch of your property, and they're telling you you need to do an 80-foot wide road easement, for which you're not putting in a road, you're just trying to put in a driveway. That's just one of the things these folks are going through. So just always turn it back in on yourself, and what would you do? And they've drawn this out for 7 years. Think mm-hmm. about that. 7 years of legal fees as well.
Yes. And we tried to settle several times. We said, listen, we get it that there's a road there. There's always been a road there. We've always lived with a road there. But it's not so big that it would encompass all of our buildings. All of our buildings that were out there had been permitted by the county, even though they were old. They'd all had remodeling re-permits and all of that. All of them. Everything had been permitted out there. So they have never claimed an 80-foot wide road prior to the fire.
Well, and I talked about that earlier, and I'll add into it. Think about all those roads going out on Lower Mine, Swayze, anything out in Old Shasta. Those are all 60-foot easements, and those are publicly maintained roads, and there's a 60-foot easement. Mm-hmm. And on a private property, on a road they don't own, mm-hmm. by their own admission, mm-hmm. they're trying to enforce you guys with an 80-footer.
Right.
I'm putting it out there so people understand this is the battle. This is our government. This is what we're up against.
An 80-foot wide road, if you think about modern roads that are out there right now, 80 feet is really, really big. That's a 2-lane road with a center turn lane. And I'm 7 lots at the end of a dead end road that has a 12 to 16 foot wide road coming to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't claiming the entire of Middle Creek was 80 feet. You know, which would have been glorious for them to get an 80-foot wide easement.
To go to nowhere, because it goes to the river at a dead end.
Right. But they only wanted it on our property. Well, what it did is it devastated our property. It took all of the building ability.
Because
we've got a creek on one side, and, you know, it's just, it's a complicated property anyway. But it would have,
well, now,
it would have been a taking.
Something just occurred to me, since Mr. Gardner is your neighbor and the one that kind of has made this the put his finger in it, could you go to the county and tell them they have to enforce an 80-foot wide easement on his property? And if he has anything built in an 80-foot easement, he has to remove it. Nothing there?
No,
bummer.
Because he's across creek.
Ah,
he's,
gotcha.
He's off of it.
Darn it. I was hoping that might be.
And you know, I would not wish what has happened to us on my worst enemy, which coincidentally is him.
Yeah.
You know, I would not wish this on him.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. Why would you do that? This is supposed to be America. You're supposed to have private property rights. But what I found is you don't own property. You pay taxes for the right to ask permission
to use
your property in the time, method, and manner that the county will allow.
Yeah, that's Patrick Jones about that. He knows all about that.
Let me interrupt real quick. Bill McDonald called and said in 1972, the building that housed all the county records burnt down with all the county records. That's why they don't have any records.
It wouldn't surprise me.
We've only got 15 minutes left, so go.
Okay. So now we've gone through trial. The judge has decided that, well, the county's tried to say we didn't have standing. They said, well, we don't think that we own this 80-foot, but if you say we don't own it, we don't think that you own this 80-foot. So you don't have a right to bring this lawsuit. So even though it's in the middle of my property, they're saying you don't have the right to bring it. And so that was kind of scary. You know, it's like, what do we do?
The reality is you own it. An easement, folks, you own it. If you live on Deschutes, you own to the center of the property. The easement is actually a use right on your property. A sidewalk is a use right on your property. So easements are not ownership by the government. It's a right to use it for whatever, utilities, roadway, whatever.
And you pay taxes on that easement land.
Yeah.
You don't pay taxes on a road, but you pay taxes on an easement. So we've always paid taxes on that.
We not only paid taxes on the easement, we paid the electrical bill for both street lamps for 50 years.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you go to the judge, so now you have to file a lawsuit that the county tries says is not in your jurisdiction, but obviously it is. Mm-hmm. So what does that lead to?
So what it leads to is the judge rules that that because we couldn't prove that the road was prior to 1884, which is very difficult to prove something 150 years ago.
Especially if things have burned in the meantime.
Exactly. We did have some. But we did have some proof, but he didn't feel like it was enough proof to decide that the road was
prior. Which is ridiculous because he came out to the property and you can see the old road. Their records show that the last time that road was worked on in any capacity was in 1884. So what's the old road doing right next to it that runs parallel? You can see it. It's a hand-built, rock-built bridge. It's ridiculous. And since then, I've found research in the old Shasta Crier that states that it is absolutely older. Mm-hmm. Shasta, that road, again, was the main artery from the mouth of Middle Creek. They'd bring supplies up the river and unload at Middle Creek. That's where the Wah Ferry was. And they would take them down Middle Creek and all the way into Old Shasta from 1849 on. It is absolutely older than the judge claimed.
Wow.
So anyway, it was kind of a split the baby decision. And he said, yes, you have standing, which was wonderful. And no, the county doesn't own this 80-foot wide easement. But I believe that the road is a modern road because he couldn't prove it was older than that. And that means that it's going to be a 40-foot wide road. So we're like,
to nowhere, going to nothing for exactly. A private. Think about this, folks. I'm not here to step over your glory. Mm-hmm. But think about that. Somebody comes on and says, you need to do a 40-foot wide road to your 5-foot piece of or your 5-acre property to get to your house. Yeah. That's what's basically being said here.
Mm-hmm. And it's a one-lane bridge with a cliff on one side and a hill on the other. It would cost them millions to make that 40 feet wide.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never going to be 40 feet wide.
No.
So that's the point where we are. And we're like, okay, so we accepted his initial ruling. We said, we're just going to accept it. This has gone on so long. We've got to try to rebuild at this point. It's been very devastating to live in that trailer out there for all these years. You know, I did laundromat every week and, you know, having to have our septic pumped, every month to get that emptied out. And nobody wants to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
People who say they're going to hop in an RV in their retirement and travel the world, I just say, good luck with that. I hope your marriage survives. So now we're at a point where we can try to rebuild, and we actually have permits processing right now at this point.
On top of the permits you already received.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you already have a set of permits that were agreed.
Well, those are temporary. Those are temporary living permits. So that
okay.
They give you. You
okay.
have to have permission to reside on your property.
Even, yes, I know.
Even if you don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're working with the county now, and actually there's been one gentleman at Shasta County. His name is Sean Ankeny, because I want to give him kudos for what he did for us, and he works in the road department and public works. That man is honest and fair and kind, and he worked really hard with us. And
my client, I sold 3 houses for Mr. Ankeny.
Did you?
Yes.
I know Mr. Sean Lankany very well.
Yes. So that guy should be promoted. That's the kind of guy we need in our county that's running things.
Wow.
Because he was incredible to us.
That's good to hear. I'm really glad to hear that.
So we were able to work with Kevin Cry. Kevin Cry tried. But so what Kevin Cry did is after we accepted the judge's initial ruling where he said, you know, the lawsuit was brought because we needed to determine the width of the road and the Robinsons have standing and we're going to make it a 40-foot wide road. We'll split the baby. We said, okay, fine. We'll accept that ruling because we've got to move on at this point. It's been so long and so expensive.
And it did allow us to rebuild.
Yes, it did allow us
to keep our septics, which mm-hmm. was the big issue.
Yeah.
They were taking all of our infrastructure.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, because we've got the creek on one side and our well is closer, then you had to have 100-foot setback
yep.
for your septic.
100 and 200, yeah.
There's only mm-hmm. one place that we could have put a septic tank, which is where it is, and had been permitted to be there. And so that was the only place a septic. This 80-foot wide road would have taken that land. And so we would have not been able to build.
Okay.
So they were taking the land is what they were doing. They okay. weren't eminent domaining it. They weren't offering to buy it. They were just saying it's ours, and you have to prove that it's not.
What did Kevin Cry do?
So after we got this ruling from the judge, the judge decided that the county prevailed, that they were winning, and that at that point we had to pay the county's court costs of $34,000. So on top of everything that we lost and everything we had to fight for and everything we had to pay for to prove our property was fine, and the only avenue you have is to file a quiet title action. And a quiet title action allows for mutual satisfaction, so where you don't have to have prevailing party. You don't have to have that ruling. That can just be like a split the baby decision. You both got mutual satisfaction. Everybody goes on their way.
Yeah, we weren't suing them for money and for damages and what like we probably should have.
Yeah, but
for the 7 years of our life and the loss of our grandkids and all the time we had and 7 years and no Christmas tree and I mean you name it,
you can't get it back.
There's a lot of personal stuff I can't even talk about that cost us. You know, like I said, we've been married for over 40 years, childhood sweethearts, and this darn near separated us.
Oh yeah, no, the government can be very heinous, and almost always is. You know, as Ronald Reagan famously said. Always be aware when you hear, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Mm-hmm. When you hear that, run, pull out your gun, because they're not going to help you.
And who are these people? They're just people like you and I. What makes them?
They have the power of God and government on their side.
But it's pure evil to me.
It is evil.
Like my neighbor. What? I don't even know the guy. I spoke to him once in 10 years where he asked me to do some tracking.
You displayed the American flag that pissed him off.
What in the world? I've never done anything to that man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it is evil, and the government is infiltrated from the left side, and they run with that. I mean, I know of a building inspector that was out there for a while, and I don't know if he got promoted or fired. He should have gotten fired and fined, but he would show up on people's property and look over the fence and start filing complaints against the neighbors, and, I mean, he got so many complaints that they had to take him out of his job. So when you have the government working against you, you're paying for their mm-hmm. lawyers and yours, and they never run out of your money.
No,
ever.
No, they have. And then every once a month when you go to the meetings, all they do is complain about how they don't have any. And that reminds me about how much money this cost. We had a pro bono attorney who was a family, my uncle, and without him, we could not have done this.
Yeah,
$750,000
to build on your own property
of his own time and expense. And then we spent another six figures of our own in court costs and fees and fines
and probate.
Because
we found that Mike's grandfather had died in the 70s, and when his grandma took him off of the deed, they decided after the fire that they didn't like her filing 40 years later. They didn't like it, so they put him back on the deed. And so then we had to go through the whole probate process to get him off of the deed again. And fortunately, Mike's father and his uncle were still living and could still transfer it down to us, because everybody in the family has had to rally around this property. I mean, everybody, generations of family, both sides of families have had to just come together to keep this property for us.
It was a ploy. They didn't think we could pull it off. It was during COVID. It took a long time. It was a long process, and it was expensive.
Right. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, so let's bring it. Where are you at? Is there anything we can do? Can we reach out and help? I mean, I'm not opposed to irritating people. I'm pretty good at it.
Well, I'm hoping that the satisfaction of the trial will just allow us the opportunity to rebuild like any normal person should be able to rebuild.
Who had a devastating fire wipe out your life.
They're still telling us we cannot build on my uncle's portion of the lot where his home was since 1973.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
But Kevin Cry, I do want to give a shout out to Kevin, because what he did is after he's been very patient with my husband Mike, because Mike has just been blowing up his phone.
Yeah.
And, but fortunately he did listen, and I feel bad because people think the supervisors have power, and, you know, unfortunately they'll tell you I'm only one vote, which, you know, is terrible to hear.
We need two more votes is what we need.
Because we need more votes, but people think that a supervisor is going in to represent the people, and I think that that's not the job. The job is to go in and represent the county against the people. So you kind of are picking your poison. You're not really picking somebody to represent you. It's who do you want to have represented against you is what I've found.
Yeah.
That the county is not there for me. The county.
Well, that would definitely describe Modi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what Kevin did is he accepted a settlement offer for us, and he cut that. Well, I'm calling it a fine because I don't know any other way to describe it. But he cut that fine from $34,000 to $20,000.
That's still ridiculous.
So yeah, I'm still very hurt that it was a dollar. You know, it should have been nothing. It should have been absolutely nothing.
Because you went against them to prove that you are the owner of a piece of property that you had for 7 years. You had to sue them to prove what you was already had yours. Let that sink in, folks.
And then they
tried. You had to sue them for something that was already yours. And then you get their lawyer bill.
Yeah. So I don't get their lawyer bill. I
well,
get
I mean,
their
court $1,000, whatever
yeah,
that
I get
was.
Their court costs.
Their court costs.
All their
$34,000.
Yeah. So, and then the really bad part about this for everybody else out there is that now this is precedent. So now my case will be used against every homeowner that's coming up and trying to prove their property now that they now we have the ability to charge them for the county's costs as well.
Do you have knowledge of other property owners having this problem?
I don't, but I see all of the fires that have just happened, and I can only imagine that it's going to happen again because if they can go back to a deed from 1885 and say there's an ambiguity here, we think we're going to interpret it to say that we own it, you're in trouble.
Did you get everything in you wanted to?
I think so.
Good. That's great. We're so happy to have you on.
And
well,
keep us informed and let us know. I mean, if you want to come back on, if there's a positive development or even a negative and you want to come back on and spend some time, we'll open up the airways for you just because this is ridiculous. This is our government that is purposely trying to take us out for an ulterior motive for this park that's never going to happen anyways because of fishing game and it's under the flood zone. So,
you know, if any of our listeners have stories like this they'd like to get on the radio, you can contact us here. You just send a letter to kcnr1460.com. The address is someplace around here. And we'll get it, and we'll consider having you on because this was really interesting. I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad I heard this. As a real estate agent, 28 years, a broker now for 20, thank you because this is ridiculous.
Well, it was nice to have a voice because while you're in litigation, you're not allowed to say anything. So we feel like we just finally had an opportunity to get it out.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We're done for the day. Nick, I'll be back in 2 weeks, and keep us informed, please.
I will. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.